Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. The program's called Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, we're here with Ed and Walker. And Fred Jackson has gone back to his office and is working on the news. And Steve Jordahl is here with us from that same newsroom.
We literally tag as we go across the street. Like, you know,
Steve is Steve is a veteran newsman, having spent many years at Focus on the Family, right?
I did.
I used to hear your voice before we even knew each other, and you were News in Focus. I'm Steve Jordahl.
I called you several times as a reporter from Family News in Focus.
Yeah. How'd I do?
You do great. You hired me, so you must have.
And on the other hand, since you hired me, I'm answering that question. You did great.
That might be a little truth in that.
That's probably worthy of some kind of raise at the end of the year anyway. Good morning again, Steve. Hey, Walker, you wanted to, you and Steve were chatting about something, right, before we get into the...
Yeah, Steve, bring us some good news.
Yeah, you know, for the first time that, at least in my memory, the president's approval poll, according to Rasmussen tracking, which is the pretty much the gold standard of how the president is doing, is above water. The poll today shows 50% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance, 49% disapprove. This, I think, if you'd have told me this even as much as a month ago or 2 months ago, I'd have said, how could this happen? Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh. I'm almost positive Kavanaugh is why this happened.
Well, what else would explain it? Maybe
economy.
Maybe
there's
the economy could,
stuff
because
going.
It's the lowest unemployment in 49 years or something.
I'm tell you something
like that.
But it's been that way. It's been that way. The economy's been strong for a long time, and his approval numbers haven't seemed to. I mean, they've been inching up, but to put him over 500 or over 50%,
The Democrats in this country and the liberal media outlets and the entertainment industry in Hollywood, there is, seeing that number, there's got to be some serious wailing and gnashing of teeth because they're probably thinking, what more can we do to damage Donald Trump and the Republicans? And he's still sitting at 50%. We have, Well, I mean, we've played the rape charge card. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
The racist card, all of that.
Played the homophobic card, the xenophobic card.
The Russia card.
The Russia card, and he's still at 50%? You've got to be kidding me.
There's a phrase that comes to my mind that sometimes you hear, and it is, the truth will out. And even in this day of relativity and secular humanism when truth means very little, there's something to the fact that you just can't deny what's staring you in the face. The truth will out. And the truth is that this president, while you might not agree with his tweeting habits, is as doing what presidents do. He's doing a very good job.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm surprised too. I'm surprised I would put it like this. I'm a little surprised. He's been hovering around 50%, but 50%. And approval rating by the Rasmussen Daily Tracking Poll. Mm-hmm. I trust that.
Just before the November election.
That's about where President Obama tracked, wasn't it? In the upper 40s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was.
Upper 40, 50. So it kind of reflects the divisiveness of our country, too, politically as well. But Election Day is November the 6th. Today's the 4th.
30-something odd days.
A month. Yeah. We're a month out.
Yeah.
Expect it to get, start seeing, if you haven't already, a lot of political ads on TV. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see, depending on how long the Kavanaugh thing continues on and what's going to suck the oxygen out of the room when people should be talking about this race or that race or control the House or get out to vote. It seems like something always comes up to, you know, everybody
this
wants to talk
the,
about
this
that.
This is the first time in a while I can remember where, at least for me, what I read, nobody really knows. how November 6th is going to go. We knew in 2010 that the red wave of Tea Party candidates was going to roar into Washington, D.C. in reaction to President Obama's very liberal policies that he hid so well prior to the election. Then he gets in, then the Democrats have control House, Senate, and White House for 2 years, and they ramrod Obamacare through, and the American people reacted to that negatively, and we saw the House taken over by the in a historic fashion by the Republicans at the time. But who, I mean, you keep hearing, as I said earlier, red wave, blue wave. Both sides say it's going to go their way, but historically speaking, the party that's not in the White House does pick up seats in the House and Senate. So will that happen this time or not? The Democrats have a lot more at stake, or I guess I should say a lot more risk in the Senate this time, because I think they have incumbents up 3-1.
Yeah.
25 seats.
The way the numbers fall, it is that a lot more seats up for Democrats rather than for Republicans.
That'll be two years from now. That'll change, right, Steve?
Yeah, it will. It'll flip-flop every 2 years. A third of the Senate is up, and that's going to go back and forth. And after 2016, I don't know how anybody can predict anything with any certainty. Everything is just kind of up in the air. So it's really kind of a fun time to be a reporter and a political junkie, because
I got to tell you.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. When I get down.
Yeah,
I know what you're gonna say.
When I get down and lonely and
listen to country music,
troubles of the world's collapsing on you. I just get out my iPad and I type in election night reaction 2016.
I knew you were gonna say that.
And give me 30 minutes, and I'm on top of the world.
It doesn't take long, does it?
Yeah.
Type in that.
I've actually done that.
Have you done that?
Oh, yeah, I've actually done
that.
Doesn't it make
your heart happy? And
all those people laughing, Donald Trump.
Remember how they laughed at Ann Coulter on that Bill Maher show?
Yes. They were just absolutely blown away that she said that.
Right.
There's one show in particular that I've watched. It's a show. It's just an internet show called The Young Turks.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And these guys start out and they have the percentages of who's likely to win, and they're starting out all happy. And as the night goes on, it's
just
be serious here.
Yeah.
Just be advised if you're going to watch that.
Yeah, there's some language.
That Young Turks in particular has some language.
It does have some language. Be
aware of. But just to watch the meltdown in the media. That night when their candidate Hillary Clinton starts to slip and President Trump pulls out Florida, and then he pulls out North Carolina, and then he pulls out Ohio, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, he's going to win Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, and they're just like,
it's funny because I have a kind of a go-to list I watch Bobby Orr scoring the goal to give the Bruins the Stanley Cup in 1970. Doug Flutie throwing the miracle Hail Mary pass against Miami, and election night reactions 2016. Can you throw those all in the same basket? You pick either one out.
I will not be watching any A's baseball from yesterday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was brutal.
What happened? I'm sorry.
The Yankees thumped them.
Was that game one or one game play in?
It was the one game play in.
Wild card.
Or play out.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm sorry.
Elimination.
Sorry that
happened,
Steve. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Let me just give you a little bit of update. If the Twitter leaves, I should say, are reading like this. Jeff Flake left the briefing room, the skiff room where they have the FBI investigation report. He says he left the room saying he planned to go back and read more of the report, but he says he saw no additional corroborating information. So I'm reading that to say he's leaning that he's going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh.
Now, who is this?
Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake?
The guy who called for this made this whole deal. Remember?
The retiring senator from Arizona. Yeah.
He's the one that right as they were coming in to vote in committee whether to send Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the full Senate, they were late, and Jeff Flake walked from the Republican side to the Democrat side and made this deal. And says, okay, Republicans are going to pass him out it will be an 11-10 vote to forward him to the Senate if we agreed to this one-week limited FBI investigation. And, of course, the Democrats said, yes, 1 week limited, that'll do, we're fine. And now it comes out, of course, and they're not fine.
Yes.
So, you know, it was a scam all along. But it does look like Jeff Flake is leaning, if you can read the currents, he's leaning towards voting for Brett Kavanaugh. There you go.
You know, one thing before we move on here,
sure,
is the I mean, whether you like it or not, in my opinion, by calling for an FBI investigation, talking about Senator Flake, you are at least granting an ounce of legitimacy to all of the accusations, because you're saying to yourself and to the public that I need the FBI to look into this because it might be true. And you could say the same, it might not be true. But in my opinion, Jeff Flake and the Democrats, they owe Brett Kavanaugh an apology here, because they presumed that he might be guilty of rape or sexual assault. So we need the FBI to let us know whether he did this or not.
But the problem is they will never admit to they are now saying the FBI report is incomplete because they didn't talk to Kavanaugh or to Ms. Ford.
Yeah.
And they're saying that, certainly something came up in these
somebody,
interviews.
One of the journalists need to ask Jeff Flake, does this make you feel better now?
Well, I think this is what he said on the way out. It does make him feel better. And the Washington Post, by the way, is reporting that Susan Collins came out saying much the same
thing.
But
does it make the Democrats feel better? Because that was his goal.
Well, you need to ask Chris Coons that.
Yeah,
or
Jeff
someone
Flake's
like that.
Goal was bipartisanship.
Right.
Let's mend this country together. We're a divided country, and we're going to let the FBI bring our country back together. Jeff Flake's goal, I want somebody to ask him, did this advance or complete your goal of bringing our country together?
Well, of course, that's not what this was ever about anyway in terms of the Democrats. Whether this was true or not,
yeah,
about Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Ford. Because if they really were interested in it, they would have gone through this process during the time when this process was going on.
Yeah.
They would have asked Brett Kavanaugh the questions that they asked last Thursday out in public. They would have asked him privately. They would have asked the FBI to do this kind of investigation privately. All that would have gone on when the confirmation hearings were underway for 60 days. Dianne Feinstein would have had this information, but that's not what this was about. This was about publicly tearing this man down so that people would, senators would be afraid to vote for him.
There was a day, and I think this is where Jeff Flake was coming from, and the late John McCain was like this. And at one point, Jeff Sessions and Mitch McConnell were like this. They remember the Senate when it kind of did have a collegial feel and everything kind of mellowed when it got to the Senate and they discussed things rationally. They disagreed. And I think that was what Jeff Flake's play was here. I long for those days when we used to be able to at least disagree civilly, and I'm going to do this as an olive branch back to those days. Of course, the Democrats were having none of it.
Well, it's a zero-sum game now.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the way the Democrats are playing it.
Right.
If we allow the Republicans to win, that means we lose.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? We can't allow them to win on anything.
I'll tell you what could happen in the next 2 years, which would probably make this Kavanaugh situation look like a movie trailer instead of a movie, is that, of course, President Trump will be the president for the next 2 years. If the Republicans pull away from the Democrats 54-46, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires or passes away, and her seat is for President Trump to name a nominee, I'm not so sure that the Democrats wouldn't then call the Russians to help. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Please collude with
Listen,
us.
Listen, I know, but we need you, Vlad. We need. Otherwise, Trump's going to appoint some right-wing woman to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat, and we might as well join y'all over there. You know what I'm saying?
I know that's a little bit tongue in cheek, but seriously, I do worry.
I don't think he was being. I don't think it,
well about
the way
Russians.
He expressed. Yeah. Oh yeah, the Russians.
But the Russian. This is what I do worry about, though, if that were to happen. I don't know that the congressional Senate Senate Democrats, they haven't left themselves a whole lot of room to get much worse, at least from my perspective.
Yeah.
But what is out there is this resistance that will feel cornered into a box, and if Ginsburg's seat goes and the court does do a pretty good swing to the right, what are they left with? And I can't think of anything except a shooting on a baseball field.
Yeah.
Literal violence somewhere, because that's the only worst that they can get than they're doing now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Kavanaugh thing, compared to what will happen, assuming that scenario, the hypothetical we're talking about, the Kavanaugh situation has been PG-13 compared to how the Democrats, I think, will respond.
Well, I don't know what else they can do
to
the
an
Democrats,
open Ginsburg seat.
The Democrats, at least on the Hill, what I mean, they've destroyed a man by bringing the most salacious things against him, and of course, it with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's likely going to be a woman that he appoints. You really can't throw these kind of sexual accusations at a woman.
Amy Coney Barrett, someone
probably
very
Amy
conservative.
Coney Barrett. So I don't know if they will find someone that says that she shot somebody, and I don't know what it's going to be, but it will be something.
Well, I will say this though, okay, for all you secular progressives who have for the last 25 or 30 years relied on the Supreme Court and made it the most powerful institution in the country, decides all questions, forget about what Congress says and what the president does, some federal judge out there. You're the one that made the Supreme Court that powerful, and now you're going to live with the consequences.
Right. Mm.
Right. Or how you like them apples.
Or how do you like them apples? We worked it into the show.
There you go.
What else you got?
A verse has been going through my head. Pastor Ed, do you remember what Isaiah 5:20 says? Does that ring a bell with you?
Isaiah 5, that is the chapter that begins talking about the Israel being the vineyard of the Lord.
It is. And about the verse 20, the prophet is saying, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I want you to listen to Nancy Pelosi on the steps of the Supreme Court. This would be yesterday, I believe. This is what she had to say.
And then when they complain, these same patriarchal cowards, when they complain about having to have an investigation, it's nothing more than any of you would have if you were appointed to any federal position. I guess there's a similarity that people have with the people that they respect. Crazy about Putin, in love with Kim Jong-un, thinks Kavanaugh is a great, upstanding person.
She just compared Brett Kavanaugh to Putin and Kim Jong-un, who have arguably killed or oppressed millions in their country. What was this man Kavanaugh probably not guilty of, but is being accused of? Groping at a woman's clothing.
So you just
really?
Said, but a few minutes ago you said you're not sure if the Democrats could get any worse. Well, I think that was it.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. Yeah. If Nancy Pelosi plans on kind of sucking up to Vladimir Putin, she's not helping herself now if she wants his help later.
Right.
To help destroy another nominee.
This is true.
Nominee.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
Exactly.
All right. The Capitol Police have made an arrest.
Are we
moving on?
No. It's okay. I just promise me that's all the Nancy Pelosi we have to listen to.
We don't have to listen to another
single
word.
You don't have any
word.
More quotes
nothing,
from Nancy? Okay,
nothing
good.
Else
right.
from
Go
Nancy.
Ahead. Proceed.
But we can play that again if you want.
No.
Okay. Capitol Police have made an arrest. They have arrested 27-year-old Jackson Costco. Nothing having to do with the shopping place, but Jonathan Costco is a Democrat congressional intern who most recently worked for Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, but also has been on the staff of Dianne Feinstein. He is the one that they have suspect of doxing. That is a term that means when you find private information on somebody, a public figure, or a private figure that's private information like medical records, cell phone numbers, and you publish it online. That's called doxing. And Costco did this with three Republican senators, Lindsey Graham, Mike Lee, and Orrin Hatch. Subsequently, also Rand Paul's information got out there. They're not sure if he is involved with that or not.
He did this fellow did this last week,
yes,
allegedly. Mm-hmm. So during the Kavanaugh hearing, so what you're saying is you got a congressional intern for Sheila Jackson Lee, the very liberal Democrat from Houston, and he worked for Dianne Feinstein, the very liberal Democrat senator. This fella, how old is he, 27 years old. Mm-hmm. He's going on the internet. I think it was on their Wikipedia pages. And he's posting where they live, that is those Republican senators, mm-hmm. their phone number, whatever mm-hmm. else personal information they have here. And why would someone do that, you would ask? Because he wants people to physically intimidate, or worse, these Republican senators. Okay, mm-hmm. That's why it's illegal right. to do what he did, because everybody knows why you're doing it. And this only adds to the, you know, this is like Steve Scalise when he got shot and the violence that took place there, the crowd that went up to Ted Cruz at the restaurant the other day. My question to you, Fred, I mean, Ed, and then we got about 2 minutes here. Why is it just the liberals who are doing this intimidation and this physical, acts of aggression towards Republican and conservatives? Where are the examples of conservatives and conservatives doing the same thing back to Democrats?
Well, because I believe that, and we don't have much time, so
I'm going to make an
assertion here. It is my belief that the ideology of these people is at its core fascist. That this is a fascist movement wanting complete control of everything that goes on in this country. That's why you have Democratic governors saying pro-lifers are not welcome in this state, New York, whatever. And fascism at its core is about intimidation.
Okay,
that's an assertion, but I think that is.
Could it also be that the secular progressives, Walker, they don't believe in God, at least not the God of the Bible, so they don't believe that they're being personally held accountable to God for their actions?
Yeah. Yeah, when it goes along with Ed's point,
right.
But the way that they are able to use the intimidation tactics is because, like you said, they have no set moral standard,
right.
No objective moral standard that doesn't change. Thus, the ends, as many people say, the ends justify the means. Whatever we need to do, this is their thinking, whatever we need to do to advance our agenda, reach our goal, we can do it. Whether it's viewed in the public as moral or ethical, we can do it. And that's why you see a lot of the corruption that went on under the Obama administration.
Saul Alinsky.
Right. That was in
Rules
his
for Radicals.
Right.
And George Soros type. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's funding a lot of this stuff, too. And he's right. a socialist. Mm-hmm.
I'd go back to the quote that I pulled from Greg Gutfeld from Fox, who says, conservatives believe liberals are wrong. Liberals believe conservatives are evil.
Right.
That's why they do this, and we don't.
All these are probably right in the ballpark as an explanation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I call them secular progressives. They're not all liberals are like this.
Or right. as Abe Hamilton calls them, regressives.
But right. the regressives are the progressives, as they're known by. They're not your grandpa's
liberals.
Liberals,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. Fair point.
And now I'm a grandpa, so I'm caught, you know, for five times over. About to be seven when Walker has his twins in April.
You're just missing six altogether, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, folks.